And happy new year, and welcome back to Australian Rotary Health's podcast called The Research Behind Lift the Lid. I'm Jessica Cooper, and with us today on episode 56 and our first episode of 2022 is Dr. Ilaria Pizzato from the University of Sydney. Ilaria was awarded an Ian Scott PhD scholarship from Australian Rotary Health from 2018 to 2021 for her project Preventing Mental Health Problems Following Motor Vehicle Crash by Early Detection of High-Risk Survivors, the imprint study. Ilaria is a rehabilitation physician by background who has been working as a research fellow at the John Walsh Centre for Rehabilitation Research, Northern Sydney Clinical School at the University of Sydney for the past 7 years. As rehabilitation researcher, she gained significant expertise in evaluating mental and physical health outcomes following catastrophic and non-catastrophic injury and trauma. Her main research interest is towards understanding the neurophysiological processes underlying people's mental and physical well-being, especially following trauma and injury, and identifying biomarkers of psychological resilience and recovery. So thank you so much for joining the podcast today, Ilaria, and Happy New Year. How's 2022 treating you so far?
Thank you so much, Jessica, for having me here today, actually. And it has been a good start to the year so far. I hope yours was too.
Yeah. It should be hopefully a good year. Yeah, we'll see how it goes. Yeah. And you completed your PhD in June 2021, which it was really such an interesting area to look at how a person's mental health may be affected by a motor vehicle crash. So what kind of led you to pursue a PhD in this area?
Well, I guess my past work as a doctor has played a big role in inspiring my research. And I always felt that in the clinical management of trauma and injury, and of course, motor vehicle crashes are very common ones, psychological aspects are somehow overlooked compared to the most physical aspect. And I believe that one of the issues behind it is the difficulties in finding tangible markers for mental health. So, instead, in my clinical experience, it was definitely obvious that people do suffer a great deal of psychological distress. And then if these symptoms are not actually addressed properly, they can actually impact the recovery process. So this has been probably the first driver for wanting to raise awareness on psychological risk after an injury. Another thing that really piqued my curiosity was observing that not everyone seems to be vulnerable to stress in the same way. So this made me wanted to know a bit more about individual stress vulnerability. And what I was most curious about was actually how vulnerability is built physiologically. So I started a search for physiological markers of stress vulnerability that could be actually objectively measured early after the injury. And I do believe that this is the most novel aspect of my PhD research.
Yeah, definitely an interesting area and something that could impact anyone. So yeah, very, very important. And your PhD was made up of two main studies. Would you like to tell our audience what those studies involved?
Yeah, the two studies basically were designed to achieve different aims. Both studies were like in a technical term, prospective studies. So meaning that they were following up people from the injury to up to 12 months to assess their health. And they were both including people with minor to moderate injury sustained in a motor vehicle crash. So the first study was actually a study based on a much larger sample of about 2019 survivors. And this big sample was used to answer questions about trajectory of psychological distress following injury, as well as to build like a comprehensive multifactorial model that could actually give us the big picture of what contributed to psychological resilience. There was one very controversial factor that we all know about that needed clarification, that was the believed negative influence of claiming compensation on mental health of injured people. And we will see what we have found about it. The second study instead was a smaller study, including 120 injured people with a similar injury, but it did involve two novel aspects that have never been attempted before in the field of traffic injuries. So the first one was including a control sample of matched to the code sample, to the injury sample of healthy non-injury control. And the second aspect was including a physiological assessment of stress reactivity right within the first month of the injury. So the comparison with the control sample really allowed us to identify two groups of injury people, one with high vulnerability pre-injury and one with low vulnerability pre-injury, based on six easily available pre-injury factors that were believed to be predisposing people to mental health following injury. And the idea was to select those factors so they could be easily available from any medical report and emergency department report. These factors are like demographic, education, socioeconomic level, and pre-injury mental and physical health issues. So these really wanted to investigate whether the pre-injury vulnerability alone had any potential as an early screening. The second component, as I said before, was including a physiological assessment. This has been like the key component of the old PhD, as allows us to study and to dig in into what happened within the person's physiology in response to stress. Particularly, I'm sorry for those who already know that, but we look at autonomic nervous system responses. So the autonomic nervous system is the part of the nervous system which first responds to stress and is responsible for bringing back the body to balance. And this happened by the action of two branches, which has action opposite function. One branch is called parasympathetic and acts as a brake, and the other branch is called sympathetic and acts as accelerator. So the good news is that we can actually easily measure the action of these two branches from our heart and from our skin sweat gland, respectively. And from the balance of the two branches actually depends our psychobiological health. So these are what the two studies basically are about.
Yeah, and that's so interesting, especially having that measure as well, the physiological measure. So I guess what were some of the key takeaway messages or findings that came out of these two studies?
Okay, so overall, we did find that the risk of developing mental health disorder is very high after a traffic injury, meaning that one in two survivors actually did experience elevated distress within the 12 months, and one in three people actually developed chronic disorder 12 months post-injury, mental health disorder. Though, when we look at the group of with hyper-injury vulnerability only, this group had almost twice the risk of developing psychiatric disorder 12 months post-injury compared to the low vulnerability one. And interestingly, further, the same group actually not just was different in the way in the psychological response to the injury, but was really different physiologically in the physiological response to the injury. So what we found was that this group seems to show a faulty brake and a kind of sticky accelerator, right? Could have a huge implication, and we can talk about that a bit later on. From the multifactorial model instead, what was shown is, of course, there is not one factor that actually lead to mental health risk, but is a more cumulative effect of multiple factors. And again, the person pre-injury vulnerability, as well the disability from the injury, kind of stand out as a very important one. Vulnerability factors. For what concerned the impact of compensation on mental health instead, that what was revealed is that the impact of compensation seems to be more, instead of direct, indirect through the impact of the person's disability. And that was a very novel one, discovery.
Yeah. And what do you think these studies might add to the scientific literature that we didn't know before?
I believe, that it might be biased toward it, but The most compelling discovery from this study is that there is actually an intrinsic biological vulnerability. So we did find a faulty brake and sticky accelerator, and that can be actually measured among those injured people having higher pre-injury vulnerability, as well as experiencing higher distress. This is definitely new knowledge that opens up for new scenarios for preventing mental health problems by, for example, targeting the physiological response to stress, as well as what else we know already from the literature. One other fact I think that is kind of novel is this is the first study that actually were able to show that the power of 6 early available pre-injury factors alone in predicting psychiatric risk after an injury. This can have implication for example, implementing early screening in BCED contexts. I guess the last one is that this study provided the first robust evidence that engaging in injury compensation is not necessarily psychologically harmful for the person involved, as has been really previously thought. And I think solving this long-lasting debate really, we hope, can help overcoming stigma about making a compensation claim and possibly building new trust into the compensation schemes.
Yeah. And you did note a couple of implications there that might come out of your research. Are there any that are, I guess, more specific to preventing mental health problems in the future, like now that we know, these findings?
Yeah, as you said, implication can be substantial and of course can involve different sectors like health sector, compensation sector, policy makers, and so on. But I like to say that it all needs to be tested by further research before any implementation happens. But I guess the most important ones that really stand out are clinical implication to me. And clinical implication from this study involved 3 aspects, really. So the first one would be improving early screening to try to capture those people who are at high risk earlier. And this could be done using a combination of pre-injury factors that are actually readily available from medical record, such as ED department, and perhaps combining these with the very quick acute psychological screening to measure the level of distress. And this remained the greatest challenge for clinicians, I must say. Another interesting application could be, because now technology is advanced quite a bit, so we all have simple wearable devices that allow us to measure our heartbeat and physiological signals. So I guess one application could be actually promoting self-monitoring tools by using these devices by the injured patient. So the patient could learn to track the actual stress physiology and to recognize like potential red flags for high level of distress. And potentially they can actually seek help much earlier. And for example, it could occur for high blood pressure, like when people check their blood pressure, they're able to go to the doctor while they're worried about it after a certain value. So, and I guess like by providing this tool to the patient can help the patient to have a more active role into the treatment as well. And actually to overcome the stigma that is just in their head, because it's actually in their body and they can see it. And that's very important because having a tangible marker can give people a very like a high sense of control over the symptoms as well. And the old experience can become less overwhelming in a way. The very one would be, I guess, testing new preventive treatment. You might know that out there, there are like non-invasive intervention based on biofeedback, which use like bodily signals to modulate physiology. So this type of intervention could be offered as a standalone treatment, preventive treatment, or in combination with psychological treatment to those who are being more at risk and very early on. And type of signal that can be like modulated are like heart signals or skin sweat signals, the gland signals, as I said before. Mm-hmm. So this is the most interesting one. We could go on, but I think that's enough.
Yeah, it definitely sounds like there's a lot more research that can be done in this particular area. Mm-hmm. And I guess, what are the next steps in your career as a researcher? Are you going to continue developing this research area now?
I must say that I've just taken on a new challenge already. So I am already involved as a postdoctoral fellow in a clinical trial funded by the Ministry of Health. Mm-hmm. And this is a five-year trial where we wanted to actually test the efficacy of one of those biofeedback interventions I was talking about before, using heart and respiratory signals to improve autonomic and neural function in people with spinal cord injury. So I kind of shifted toward more catastrophic injury. Mm-hmm. And that and spinal cord injury is a particular injury where it is actually disruption of the autonomic nervous system. So that's other challenge to what happened for other injuries. But at the same time, I really would like to continue to work with catastrophic, non-catastrophic traffic injury by expanding some of the implication I was actually discussing before. Mm-hmm. Especially implementing early screening ED is one of my main focus for the next few years, I think.
Yeah, it sounds like a very exciting challenge, and I hope it goes well.
Thank you.
And I guess, what is one thing that you would like to achieve over the span of your academic career?
I'm not a great planner, so hard question. my short-term goal would be to possibly expand the same findings to other type of injuries and trauma, such as work injuries. But in the long term, I wish that my research can really continue to build a bridge between the more medical and biomedical perspective and more psychosocial paradigm of health, because they definitely need more dialogue on it.
Yeah, it sounds like some good goals to have. And a lot of the research that we fund is supported by Rotarians through their fundraising efforts and donations. Can you tell our audience why it's so important that mental health research continues?
Well, I guess it's incredibly important as advancing mental health research is really the only way we have to raise awareness of how crucial mental health is for the functioning of a person, but also for the community as well. So unfortunately, I would say mental health still suffer from being impacted by too much stigma and discrimination. And I think too often is not given the same degree of importance as physical health, especially talking from a medical setting point of view. And I think by advancing existing knowledge, we can really make a difference.
Yeah, absolutely. And lastly, what kind of impact do you think the Ian Scott PhD scholarship has had or may have on your research career?
I guess that the Ian Scott PhD scholarship gave me the golden opportunity to start really on this journey. And it's been a unique opportunity. And I guess it gave me much more than financial security, I must say. So because being a scholar for Ian Scott PhD scholarship has provided me with, first of all, many opportunities like this one to share my research with the community and with the wider public, which is the key for becoming a good researcher, really. And as well as training opportunity, I've been invited to the media training in USA, and it really helped me to improve my skills and gain confidence to really engage on more and more research. So I guess I will be forever thankful to the Australian Rotary Health for this.
Yeah, well, thank you so much for joining me today, Ilaria, and sharing your research with us. Was there anything else that you would like to add before we go?
I guess just a wish that this new year would be a good one for everyone by the challenges of this global pandemic that has actually impacted research and so many other fields a lot in the last couple of years. And so hopefully a good beginning makes a good end.
Yeah, hopefully. Well, yeah, I wish you all the best with your new research as well.
Thank you very much. Likewise.
That was the 56th episode of our podcast for the Research Behind Lift the Lid. It's always so inspiring to hear what researchers in Australia are doing to make a difference to mental health and how they are helping us on our mission to lift the lid on mental illness. If you can, please support important mental health research like Ilaria's by donating on the Australian Rotary Health website. Thank you for listening. Please join us again next time.